Crisis Radio Network.
Blood, sweat, and gears for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try any of this at home. Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. The show is sponsored by TrueNutrition.com. You can use our code ADVICES at checkout for additional savings on awesome supplements that you probably would have bought anyway. I'm Scott McNally, and with me, as always, is Skip Hill and S2H. That was my third try at this intro, guys. Nobody else knows that but you. Skip, what's up?
Nobody would have known if you didn't say anything.
Well, I want to be kind of transparent. I don't want them to hear the mistakes I made, but I want them to know that there was something to overcome. It was overcome, and it brought us to this moment.
The first two were awful.
They were terrible.
Yeah, they were pretty bad.
It was rough, yeah.
The obstacles you overcome are just amazing.
During the second one, I was like, maybe we should just pay somebody to do this.
Maybe write it down first, Scott. Yeah. That might help.
We could rehearse it. We could actually, somebody could actually practice it. But no, we got to go live. We got to go spontaneous or impromptu.
I figured it was 10 words that I should be able to string 10 words together.
So did we, Scott.
What's up, guys? We're like, this is like, okay, so when this show comes out, this will literally be 1 week from the start of the Arnold Classic. And Skip, we're going to be there. Scott, we wish you would be there, kind of. But at the same time, we also don't want to get in trouble with the law, so if you're going to stay home, that's okay.
Well, my ankle bracelet won't let me go that far, so that's a joke. No, actually, the plan is to go and kill Skip's cat while y'all are in Columbus and then show up and act like I wasn't there.
Oh.
So. Zuri just said, fuck you.
I don't care what your cat said.
So did Linus.
What's well, up, guys? Linus? Are you pumped, Skip?
You know, I've never really wanted to go to the Arnold, and I'm like, when we were talking about it, like, oh, okay, it'll be kind of fun. Honestly, I am. I'm pretty pumped. I'm pretty excited because I think it's going to be a pretty good time. You know, the other part is I'm not in this negative, cynical, bodybuilding sucks, man. Everybody, is all these fucking, everybody's a meathead, and they're, I'm kind of pumped to, not only to meet people and stuff, but, and obviously yourself, because we've never hung out or met face to face.
Which feels weird at this point. We've known each other for a while, you know?
I know, it's going to, you know what I think is going to be awkward is, like, when we meet, like, what do we do? Do we, like...
I'm a hugger.
French kiss. Hug? French kiss.
I'm a hugger, just a heads up.
Okay, but let's... like be clear here, are you like full on hug or are you bro hug, which is you got to shake and then hug with
the
other
hand? I'm thinking we do like the not even the shake where the hands kind of come together, what do you call that, where like your thumb wraps around my thumb or whatever, it's like a boom type, like two bros like bam,
I call it it's borderline gay. But no, it's a bro hug. And here's the thing, you can't go in for it. And this is why I ask, you can't go in for a bro hug, like to kind of shake and then come in. And then the other guy's coming like full on hug.
Oh, that's yeah.
You can't, oh, like, you know, it's
oh,
like,
oh,
like,
we're
ooh,
doing that.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. And then you're like, the guy who wanted to go like half bro, like bro hug, he feels awkward. And it's just a weird thing.
And the other guy could feel awkward too. He didn't like me enough to give me a real hug.
Yeah, what's up? Yeah, oh man. And I got friends like that. They're like full on. I'm not a full on hug guy. I will.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I wasn't raised like that. Matter of fact, when I met my wife, I'm like, why you fucking hug everybody? This is like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But I'm like, y'all just fucking hug and kiss on the neck and stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck is that all about? So then, like people who. Or not, maybe not neck.
Like okay? Repeatedly, like up and down the neck?
No. Like, whoa. Oh, this is my ex-boyfriend. What the fuck? No. But like, on your cheek or something like that. I don't know. Like French shit or something. Not French because you don't go back and forth or both sides or I don't know. It's just an odd thing. And I've got those friends, but I have friends I've had for 20 years that are full-on huggers. And I'm like, oh my God, you're going to full-on hug me, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll one up that, man. When I lived in Mexico, people would do the kiss on the cheek thing. So you would like do like the, oh, hey, how's it going? Not men and men, unless maybe that was like a very, personal, like, father-son type thing, maybe. But it would, right. But when, like, if you were to introduce me to your wife, then you'd give her a kiss on the cheek type thing. Like, you know, very formal, very, you know, not like an emotional kiss, but like, but a peck. And that was like the hug and the kiss. It's a little intense for me. So I know exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah. And it's not just like male. It's not like I'm over here with this, like, phobia, like I'm going to catch the gay or something.
Yeah.
I'm just as uncomfortable and it's just as awkward when I'm hugging away. It's like it's like my boundaries. It's like my kids are in this space. My wife is in this space. My girlfriend is in this space. Not you. I don't know you very well. Or even sometimes I do know you, but you come into this space. It's awkward. I don't know. It's awkward.
I'm sure Scott's a big hugger.
Oh,
he's big embracer.
Strikes me as that type of person. Yes.
Yeah. Touch helmets, everything. Yeah. So that's what it's all about.
Knuckles.
Yeah. So we have our podcast event that's going to be on Saturday. You're getting in Thursday night, right?
I am. I'm guessing I have to check, but like 7 or 8, something like that. I came in late so that I could train here at home.
Yeah.
Kind of get it out of the way. And you know what? I'm not going to train at the compound. I'm like throwing this on you while we're recording, but I'm not going to train it. I'm going to go because I want to see everybody at Elite FTS because I've been working with them for almost 6 years. I haven't met some of these people.
Sure.
But here's the thing. I'm like, I'd have to change my training all around because I'm not going to go to the compound and train arms. Okay.
Yeah, that would be a bad move.
Yeah. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of testosterone and like hair, like body hair and body fat and stuff, like a lot of pale skin, shit like that. And I'm going to go in there.
In your tights?
Yeah, in my fucking cat tights. And I'm not even to train legs, to train arms, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I'm going to train something there, I'm going to train legs or I'm going to train back.
I'm not
going in there to train arms. And then I have to, like, take my workout shit with me, which is extra stuff to pack. And I could see myself. I don't know how your luck works, but I would be going to train, and it would be like, okay, I'm not gonna train too serious, you know, I'm just gonna have some fun, I'm gonna take it in, you know. And then I fuck my back up doing like tricep extensions or something.
yeah.
Like, no, I'm just not gonna know. I'm not doing that.
So did you find out the proximity of Elite to the convention center? Because I still am not clear on that. I talked to Sarah Bruce from Metro Fitness West. She wasn't familiar. We couldn't find stats on where this place is when we looked on Google.
Well, it's in London. So the fact that it doesn't have a Columbus address is concerning. It's not very close, I don't think.
I'll check on our break because I want to see now how far away this is. Because I would love to go there. Personally, I'd love to check it out. But I wouldn't want to take like 5 hours to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So this is cool, man. I'll tell you, since you've never been to the Arnold, it's going to be like, Friday, it's not as busy in the expo. Saturday, it's like you would think that it's amazing just like how many people are actually in fitness and bodybuilding. And I swear to God, almost all of them fit into that room. It's just, it's jammed. It's crazy. It's going to be like an experience you've never had. I'll tell you that much.
Nice. And apparently I anticipate the weather to be shit. But I have vowed that I am not taking any pants. I'm going to dress like I would dress here in khaki shorts.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not comfortable in pants and jeans, and I'm not going to wear sweats or anything. I'm just not. I'm going to. Okay,
fair enough.
No. No, I'm not doing it.
I just, like, my brain just, like, flash forwarded to, like, this sub-freezing weather and you standing there in shorts complaining.
Well, you know, and I don't really have to go anywhere. If I have to go anywhere to eat or something like that, I'd take a fucking Uber. I'm not walking anywhere. Yeah.
Well, there are nice restaurants, like literally just a street over, and Powerhouse Gym is a block away, which is, it's not a bad walk, but you couldn't do it in shorts. That's for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Just, really?
Almost sounds like I'm challenging you, huh?
Yeah. Like, what the hell was that? Like, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Okay. Listen, I got off a plane in Fargo in the middle of fucking January, okay, to do a seminar there for Kemper, Thomas Kemper. I've known him for quite a while, and he's it was the Upper Midwest. He's the chair up there, the MPC chair. And I have never in my fucking life been that cold. It was to your fucking bones. It just rattled, like my teeth were rattling. It was the coldest fucking situation. And he's laughing his ass off because all I had to do was, he picked me up damn near right at the fucking curb.
Yeah.
All I had to do was walk out of the airport. But you can imagine the airport in Fargo is not going to be very big. It wasn't very big.
No.
Okay. And get in the truck, and I'm just like, oh, my God, this is fucking cold. This is horrible.
Were you wearing shorts?
So it can't be that bad. Oh, yeah. I was in khaki shorts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It can't be that bad. It just can't be that. No.
You mentioned seminar. I want to bring this back up because I know you're doing a seminar this weekend, and we should let the listeners know in case they're down in the area, they can come check it out. But before we did, I just want to throw out our information for the podcast event. So Saturday morning, it'll be from 9 to 11 a.m. We're going to be at the convention center down toward the Hyatt. So the Hyatt is connected to the actual convention center where the expo is taking place, and then they have meeting rooms down there. We wanted to get a meeting room because the expo is so crazy and loud. You could never record anything. It would just be white noise, basically. So we're going to meet down there at 9 o'clock. We're going to have a meet and greet, and we'll get a chance to talk with the listeners and stuff. And then after about 30 minutes, we're going to get down to business. We're going to do a podcast and have all of our listeners with us that show up as our live studio audience. And we're going to do questions, make it very, you know, interactive and stuff. So it's going to be fun. We've got like a full house too, man. Like, we've got everybody. And I'm going to defer to you and Dr. Scott for everything, basically. That's what we've decided, that you guys.
So who is everybody? I mean, it's myself, it's Scott, it's you, it's not S2H, Cat Hater. S2H. It's
and not Dave Cross.
VJ?
Yep, VJ.
No.
Okay. We got VJ, and then we have Dr. Steve Ogden. They do clinical muscle together. Nice. And then we have, let's see, Haley and Ryan Delf. They started the Come Up podcast, so they're going to come hang out with us. And then we'll have Sarah Bruce, who's from Rough, Rugged, and Raw. That's the podcast that she does with Mike Davies. And then Austin Stout is going to stop in and join us. He's got a bunch of his own podcasts and his YouTube and stuff. And Victoria Felkar is going to be there with us, too. She's been on a bunch of our shows, and so she's going to join us as well. So it's going to be a full house, man. It'll be
Why
cool.
Why does that name ring a bell?
Victoria Felkar?
Yeah,
she's done a lot of, you know, she's done stuff with Elite. Maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why.
That's probably why. Yeah.
That's probably why.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, seminar. That's the event. Let's move on to the
seminar. You want to segue? You want to kind of, yeah. Okay, we can segue to that.
All right, seminar. So what's going on with this? You're doing this weekend?
I am. Elevation Fitness in Miami is where Santi trains, and Carlos Rodriguez. People know him. Well, I think a lot of people know him as Pastor Pump. I do, because he was on Intense Muscle for years and still uses that same name, moniker, I think, on Intense, or not Intense. Everything is Intense. Everything's Intense Muscle. Instagram.
Okay.
So, yeah, I got to talking to him about a week ago and wondered why he wasn't training at Flex Appeal, because they're doing some renovations. So they're both over at this Elevation Fitness. And I noticed a couple pieces, like a pendulum squat and a pit shark. And I'm like, ooh, you know, my back is not hurting, but it's been a little tight because of ventrogluteal administration. So I thought, you know what, I don't want to squat. I might go down there and check this out. So I asked him how it was, how far it was. And he just said, they're doing a grand opening, a couple weeks. You know, hey, why don't you? I'm like, no, nobody wants to listen to, you know, old guy talk. He's like, no, hell no, man. You do this clinic, do the nutrition clinic with me. It'll be a fun time. I'm like, you know what? It would be a fun time. I'll fucking do it. So Saturday afternoon, it's at, I got to check, 1 or 2 o'clock. It's one or the other, which is obviously a big difference. So I want to get it right.
Well, show up before 1, and then if they're not ready, they could train for an hour, right?
Yeah.
Train some arms.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a very, first, it's incredibly well-equipped. The equipment was great. But it is typical of a South Florida gym in the sense that it's well-equipped. It's not huge. Very industrial. Large garage doors, very high ceilings.
Nice.
So it's kind of dimly lit. Everything is black. Everything is dark. Like all the equipment is black. It's pretty sweet. And it's old school shit. It's, you know, the old school Cybex, Hack Squat, you know.
I like Cybex like equipment.
Yeah, it's cool. Matte black, you know, disc weights for dumbbells. It's cool. I like it. It's a nice setup. And they have other stuff too. I mean, it's a pretty big place. So I don't want to say that it has a box gym, but it's got, there's a lot of other space for doing things like prowlers and, you know, more fitness based stuff. So, you know, the weight section is roughly a third of the size of maybe the entire gym, but it's cool. It's a nice setup.
You ever do the prowler? Like, do you like to do that ever?
Yeah, I think I did it once. Oh. And I was, yeah, fuck this shit.
How about you, Scott?
No.
It's brutal. It's fucking brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. So what are you going to talk about?
I don't know. Cats, maybe?
Cats. It'd be like a seminar on raising exotic, semi-exotic cats.
All right. No, honestly, probably what I'll do is, you know, I'm probably going to talk about skip loading, to be honest with you, for the majority. That's just my... It's my niche. It's what people know me for when it comes to nutrition. I'm sure I'll touch on other things and talk about other things nutrition-wise. But I'm going to focus on the fact, especially right now. We're in a time where, this keto thing is just and when I say out of control, I'm not saying it's bad, and I'm not saying it's not a good way to diet. But it's very, very trendy. If you get out of bodybuilding, you get out of fitness, you go into mainstream, everybody's talking about this keto and how carbs are so bad. Oh, yeah. It's horrible. So I'll obviously talk about skip loading, but I'll also emphasize that despite what people are hearing outside of, you know, the bodybuilding industry or the gym itself, that, you know, carbs aren't that bad. You can diet with carbs and, you know, they have important roles, shit like that. I'll talk about this, that kind of stuff.
I didn't know that keto was all the rage in mainstream right now. It came and went for us. Like, we're talking, what, 2008, you know, 2006?
Yeah, it's more of a resurgence, I think, within the last year or two. Okay. Now, whether it is starting to decline now, that I don't know. But within the last couple of years, I ran into it. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I ran into it when with Infinity Life Systems, the software stuff that we were doing for more of a mainstream population. And we were getting so many questions from people, and they didn't like that we didn't have a, you know, a keto option, which I guess I get. At the same time, you know, that entire nutritional plan or protocol was, you know, based around, you know, my philosophies, and my philosophies and ideology does not include keto, which is not to say, again, I want to reiterate, it's not to say that it's not effective. I've used it in my own version of it quite effectively, but it's just that popular. It's running its little, it's just a surge. It's a resurgence. So it'll come, it'll go, and then the next thing, you know, everybody will lock into, and that'll run its course for a year or two. It's always how it goes.
I got a question for you. So also, too, I want to mention, we're going back to basics here, guys, because, you know, we've had a lot of fun with the callers. And it's been fun to experiment with it. And I think that we're going to work some callers back in. But I feel like it just got a little bit out of hand, and I wanted to get back to basics. And I missed hearing from you guys. We didn't talk enough about cats, I think.
Exactly. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm sure Scott does, too. Don't wait for him to answer. Just move on.
He's got us on mute. He's still trying to figure out the button right now, I think.
He's talking to the microphone and can't figure out why we're not responding to him.
So I do. I have a question for you, though. This is something I was thinking about, and I wanted to get your perspective and Scott's perspective, too, because you guys have had a good cross-section of time working with a lot of different people. Do you feel that the newbies or the newer people that are coming to you with questions or maybe want to work with you, do you feel that they have a better education, like coming in out the gate, never working with, having worked with a coach before? Do you feel they have a better education and more knowledge now than they did, say, 10 years ago, like 2008, 2006 or something?
I don't find that. No? I think, to me, there's not been much of a change. If there is, I haven't noticed it. I will say that I don't even know that I get a lot of people who have not worked with people before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a
good
point.
As far as newbies. The other thing is, too, is I have, I've been around for a long time. So I don't usually get people who don't come to me and already know what or have some idea what my philosophies or my my protocol is. It's not like I don't get people who come to me and go, "Oh, skip loading, what is that?" That doesn't happen very often.
So, gotcha.
I don't see it as I would. Do you? Have you found that?
Yes. Yeah, I have, because I feel like 2006 people would just, and I'm thinking of like newer people that would ask questions on the message boards. There were a lot more people that were, it seemed like they were uneducated versus now. I'll meet somebody who's been training for 6 months and they've got these like really complex protocols in place and they're doing this like really crazy training split that I can hardly understand. And it's a lot more complicated than what I think it needs to be, first of all, especially for somebody who's newer, but a lot more complicated than people that were just, like lifting weights and trying to look better a decade ago. At least that's been my experience. Seems like the people
that are... I can't say that that's not the case. I mean, it could very well be that I'm just not noticing it, too. So that could be. I'm interested. Now I'm going to have to pay closer attention to see, but I haven't noticed it. It's not something that I have said, huh, okay, and no, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I was just doing that recently. Scott, how about you? Have you seen a change in the level of education people have? Oh, we really don't have him. He texted me too.
Just decided to get in his car.
He says, "Is mute blinking red?"
Oh, this
thanks
is...
for having me to the show.
Oh,
red. He likes playing with that mute button.
Well, what happened was Skip at normal fucking bored me to sleep, and I fell over and hit my head on the wall. So I was on the ground trying to find the mic, and I can't wear shorts in the cold. And I was in North Dakota or somewhere, and I was freezing. And then I like cats and all this other shit. So anyway, what was the question?
Oh, hey, welcome to the show.
I wanted to go back to the blinking red question first.
Yeah, right.
It's on, just to clear everything up, seriously.
Yeah.
It's on mute when the red dot is solid, okay? Go ahead, Scott. What's your question?
Thanks, Skip.
Thank you. Everything was fine until you laughed. You didn't laugh at my little thing earlier with Elite, but you're laughing now. You're laughing now.
So, Scott, do you feel that the newer people in fitness are more educated now than that same crowd of people a decade ago?
Well, if they listen to Skip, they're not more educated, but... outside of that realm, I don't know. I think people make shit too difficult in life in general. I mean, not just working out or diet or. I mean, you can anything in life if you just stick to the basics and work hard. I mean, it's like I talked to somebody the other day that was doing this diet and like, man, I'd have to have like an assistant. 4 computers, 18 notebooks to keep up with this shit. I mean, the best progress I ever made in life, I just took a bunch of drugs and ate a bunch of shit and drank beer and ran whores and pumped weights.
Okay, I just want to make a note to the listeners to completely disregard the last 5 seconds of the podcast. Okay, go ahead.
What? I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, I'm going to tell you this. I got a guy I worked with on and off for years, and he had an event coming up. And we've had good success in the past, but he needed to be leaner. It wasn't a show. It was just something, a life thing, and he wanted to get in really the best shape. And I said, all right, go start jogging. I had him jogging, like miles. And did he get any smaller, like muscle-wise? No, but he got lean. It worked.
Hmm.
God in hell. You tell a bodybuilder to go jog, they probably fall over. Oh, I'm going to lose all my mass.
Well, they couldn't do it.
I need 5 grams now. No, this dude didn't lose any size, and he got lean. You don't see fat sprinters, and they got big legs.
Yeah.
I'm not telling him to jog like a marathon, but, it worked.
I think you make a good point because, I know what you mean. That's what I've seen. I'll have somebody who, I look at their diet, and like I said, they're 6 months into training, and they have like their training day plan and then their non-training day plan. But then on legs, they do this, and then they have a cheat meal on this. It's like all very complicated. It takes me a half hour just to understand, you know, what's going on. Yet, you know, they're 150 pounds.
You can overthink anything in life.
Yeah.
But I think it's easy to do based on the fact that there's so much information.
Right. And that's what I'm
thinking, versus,
too.
Yeah, versus, I mean, you know, you made the comment about or referenced 2006. I mean, that's pre-social media. So you're going back to message boards there, even though there was a ton of information there. Obviously, you know, the more social media platforms, the more people are interacting that were never even on the message boards. Right. So, yeah, there's a ton of information. You know, being an old guy, it's really funny to me sometimes how, and I understand that it sounds old, but it's very true. There's just a million times over the information available at your fingertip than there was when I was, you know, say 20 years old and was trying to find as much information as I possibly could. And it was so incredibly limited based on, you really only had the muscle magazines. We could say there were books like an Arnold Encyclopedia and stuff, and it was a, you know, a very valuable resource for information. But a 20-year-old now would be like, "Are you kidding me? That's all you really had?" Like, "Oh, he's being dramatic." That's all we had.
Yeah.
And you couldn't interact with bodybuilders unless you went to the Mecca. And okay, you could interact with a couple who were in the gym, and they might answer questions because people were more open to answering questions in the gym back then than they are now. Now, you know, of course, it's the macho, "I've got my headphones on, I'm hardcore, I can't talk right now." That didn't happen in the 80s. People would fucking talk your, they would give you a ton of information and be like, "Yeah, this is what you do, this is what," and they would correct you and you'd be okay with it. Let me tell you, try this little experiment out. And this isn't just for you guys. This is for anybody listening who really does have a background. Number one, you got to have a little bit of a physique so that people know, okay, he knows what he's talking about. And you got to actually know what you're talking about. You got to have a little bit of a background with experience stuff. But go up to somebody in a gym who's doing something kind of fucked up and be as nice as you can and correct them. And come back and tell me if they didn't fucking scowl at you and did not want or appreciate your feedback.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 people don't want your feedback. And it doesn't matter if it's good or not. They don't want to hear it because they already think they know it.
Right. That's what I see, is that I feel like there's a lot more people who think they've got it figured out.
Sure.
You know, but realistically, they're still, you know, 160 pounds.
Right. Exactly. Now, there are a lot of people now who want to be 160, 170 pounds. They just want to have that athlete look. They don't want to be huge. And that's foreign to older guys like myself, because nobody went to the gym when I was younger for any other reason than to get fucking huge.
Mm.
You went to get huge and strong. And that doesn't happen now.
Do you think that they don't want it, or do you think that they're just being too, almost too macho to even admit that they want that? Like, "No, this is what I want to do. I want to be, you know, 160 pounds. Do you think that they're saying that because they're afraid they can't achieve it?
No, I don't think it has anything. I think it's just, honestly, times change. Yeah. You know, it back then it was, you know, it was Arnold. It was, you know, in the movies and stuff like that. Yeah. And it was Rocky Balboa and, you know, shit that was far more. I mean, you know, to use the word, the truth is it was very masculine. What you would now call toxically masculine, where everything now is going, you know, you can see the clothes, the fashion trends. It's much more effeminate. And that's just where we are right now. It could switch. Hmm. The pendulum could swing the other way in another 5 or 10 years, or it could continue to go where it is. I don't think that it's just different times. I don't think it has anything, much of anything, to do with that it's not achievable or people don't. I mean, you could clearly look at a, you know, a muscle magazine and see, you know, Phil Heath on it and go, "Well, goddamn, that doesn't seem very attainable." I think that it's far more known now that to look like a bodybuilder, a competitive bodybuilder, a pro, that, I mean, I think you could ask a 15-year-old and they would say, "Yeah, oh yeah, you got to take steroids." Where when I was 15 years old, I did not know that. I did buy into the fact, and the industry was selling it, hook, line, and sinker, that if you just take Joe Weider supplements, and it sounds silly, but it was easy to buy into because you're a fucking naive kid, and you didn't have the internet or all these resources to find or to find out that what you were being fed was bullshit. So when I realized, I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. When I finally realized, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I got to take steroids to get big like that. I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, well, I mean, I already invested this amount of time. Fuck, I might as well. You know, that's really what my mentality was.
Yeah.
Where if I knew that from the get-go, I'm not sure if I would have known. And I think people know that now from the get-go. And I don't think it's, you know, it's very, I don't, it's far less appealing, I think.
Yeah, I can't relate to that either. I really can't. I can't. To me, it feels like people that are wanting to stay small and not achieve. They're not trying to achieve everything they can. I guess that's the way. And I get it. I'm not saying it's not a. I'm not saying I don't respect it, but it does seem very foreign to me too.
Yeah, it's limiting. It's you know. But that's the. I think they find it more appealing. And the truth is, look, women find it more appealing for the most part. They do. And I think we had ourselves convinced, you know, older bodybuilders are still funny. And I write about this all the time.
Yeah.
And they really struggle to admit. I'll get people who message me and go, no, look, and send me pictures, you know, of their wife. No, I'm the exception to the rule. And I'm thinking to myself, no, but you're not. You just think you are. Bodybuilders think they're hot. They think they're hotter than the average, you know, person, the Adam Levine. They had a great time. Men had a great time for the last couple weeks passing around this meme about how Adam Levine was, you know, so cheesy and so gay because he took his shirt off. Your wife or your girlfriend thinks this motherfucker's hot as shit and wants to bang him. So you can say what you want and you can think what you want, but that is really attractive to the large majority of, not everybody. There are going to be people who listen and go, oh, Adam Levine isn't very hot at all. You know, okay, okay. But by and large, that look is far more appealing than anything any of us are chasing.
Jay Cutler.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So do you think it's better off this way that people have, if people have more information, you know, I mean, it is available, like you're saying, do you think that we're in a better position now? I mean, here's another thing, like look at lab work. We have people that are just like brand new first year of using gear and they've done lab work like 5 times in the last 5 months, you know, like it's, I mean, too much sometimes, but they're staying safer. Is it better?
It's absolutely better in that sense. That's why there's pros and cons. There's positives and there's negatives. You bring up a very good point about lab work and things like that. There's an awareness and people are paying more attention to their health. On the other hand, it's kind of like the feeling that a doctor has when the internet has taken over, because every client comes to their doctor and goes, first thing they say is, well, I went online and I Googled it and this is what I have.
Yeah.
And, you know, doctors are like, oh, my God, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I only went to med school forever and I have $500,000 in, you know, student loans, but you Googled it and you know what's going on.
Yeah.
So there's that complaint. I think it's on both sides. I think there's positives. And with that, you know, there's going to certainly be some negatives, too.
I wonder if I go to Scott, if he's going to be there.
I'm here.
Oh, he's there. What do you think?
I think that people overthink shit. And we're in a latest, greatest society. You know, I don't have the new phone. Oh, my God. Like, totally. I got to go get the new phone. You know, it's everybody.
You just
wants
said
to, like,
totally. You just said
yeah.
totally.
You just shut the fuck up. I'm talking. You had your 20 minutes.
Totally.
I mean, you know, that people just want everything, you know, I see it in other places too. I mean, it's like, oh my God, if I don't have the coolest, latest, newest, you know, I'm not going to be able to accomplish anything. You know, it's kind of like saying, okay, if you have a Ferrari or a Mustang, you're going to get in a race, but the dude driving the Ferrari doesn't know how to shift, you know? So, you know, it's like, people that want everything, the latest, greatest, they think it's going to make them. I shouldn't say everybody, because there's people that don't do that. But a lot of folks think they get on the internet, they get on social media. And, you know, I mean, you know, you could have there people wearing things or doing certain things, and they just think, well, if I don't do that, then I'm not going to be able to achieve anything. And that's just a lack of self-confidence. Mm. You know, people need to believe in themselves. It's kind of what's fucked up about this country right now is everybody fucking listens to everybody else and then think for themselves. And they need to, yeah. you know, it's like, you know, make up your own mind, use your own brain and make decisions. And, you know, it's like anything. I mean, the approach to life is not the same as the approach to going to the gym. Some people may want to be 160 pounds. Fine. Hey, more power to you. It's your body. It's not my decision, you know, and that's what you want to do. I'm not going to knock you.
Right.
You know, whatever you want to do, you got to make up your mind and do it. Don't be a follower. Be a leader to yourself. Now, that would solve a lot of these problems. And people come and they say, hey, man, I heard, you know, Johnny Big is getting big doing this. Well, I mean, do you really know? Unless you really know somebody, do you really know what they're doing? No, you don't. You're just, you know, the parrot talk and the rumor mill goes around. Before you know it, everybody's doing this or doing that or somebody. Just do your own thing. And sometimes you got to go out there and figure out what works for you without the help of somebody else, too.
Well, that's the key anyway. No matter what you're doing, there has to be this constant assessment as to how things, because everything is individual anyway. But you make a good point about, you know, when you were saying that, I'm thinking the latest supplements and stuff, even though it can be, you know, it could have anything to do with training, where you're training, you know, the protocol that you have as far as diet and anything else. But supplements are like that. You know, I do have a lot of clients who will say, well, you know, shouldn't I be on this? Shouldn't this, you know, isn't this going to be could this be a game changer? I use deal maker, deal breaker a lot, not just with clients, but even when I talk to my, you know, my kids and like deal maker, deal breaker. Is it a deal maker or a deal breaker? And I'll get that from my clients and I'll be like, it's just not. It's just a supplement. You want to try it out? You've got extra money. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
It was something I was thinking about. I figured I'd save that one and get your guys' viewpoints. Well, we've got a bunch of questions. We say we take a quick break and come back and knock some questions out.
Let's totally take a break.
How about you, Scott?
Shut your mouth, Skip. Oh, I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready for a break. I got to go take a skip while we're on break.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. And thank you to S2H and to Skip Hill. Guys, Team Skip has been synonymous with bodybuilding conditioning for the last two decades. From NFL players to pro bodybuilders to 40-something guys that just want to kill it in the gym and their shirt sleeves. If you have too much skin, call Skip, teamskip.com, because skin is overrated. Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
No shorty, I've had had the worst day, and we don't really have the money in the first place. And in the morning, gotta be up so early, gotta do a work thing. Yo, you can put that on my surname on stage with the shirt.
All right, guys, welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Skip Hill and S2H. We've got a bunch of questions here. If you guys are listening to the show and you enjoy it, then help us out. Help us create some content by going over to the message board. You can go to advicesradio.com and you will see first of all, you'll see all the shows. But second of all, you'll see a button over there on the side for the message board. When you go to the message board, which is forum.advicesradio.com, in the bodybuilding section, there are threads stickied for all the shows, including this one, Blood, Sweat, and Gear. We're in the Blood, Sweat, and Gear thread now. We're taking your questions. This is from Marvel3203. I have two questions, actually, he says. I'm still catching up on episodes, so if this one has not been, or if this one has been covered, then please ignore, because he says he messaged you directly, Skip. But I know we hadn't talked about this for a while. It's something we've touched about, but it's been some time. He says, I'd like to get more detail on Skip's theory about dietary fat and insulin usage. If I remember correctly, he believes it has been overblown on how people completely avoid fat while using insulin. So
completely agree. Next question. I get a lot of, I probably shouldn't say this, but I get a lot of questions that come across Messenger and stuff like that. And I typically respond to every one of them. People seem to be surprised. I think there's like some kind of, I don't know, pattern or environment out there that people who do what we do don't answer questions, and they pulled a play like work with me card. I don't know. Like that. It's funny that I have so many people that are surprised that I would take the time to answer a fucking question. And that's kind of a sad indication of, I think, where we are as an industry. But anyway, it's not about me being an angel because I answer questions. That's not what I mean. But I get this question quite a bit because of, I've said this for a long time. I'm not in any way, I want to be very clear on this, I'm not in any way advocating for taking an insulin dose and eating, you know, pepperoni pizzas and, you know, things like that, and just with no regard to fat. That's not at all what I'm saying, so okay. I have to preface my response with that, because some asshole is going to say that that's what I'm implying, and that's not at all what I'm implying. What I am saying is I think that there's way too much focus, and always has been, on keeping fat as low as possible and being concerned that if it isn't ridiculously low, that somehow, that as soon as you take that body fat in, it's going to be stored as, or as soon as you take that dietary fat in or ingest it, it's going to then be converted to body fat so easily because of your insulin, your exogenous insulin levels or use. And I don't think that's the case. In fact, the reason I don't think that's the case is because I've seen time and time again that that's not how it works. So I basically, this is my explanation in a nutshell. I have basically two types of skip loading that I do. I have the traditional skip loading, which is high carb, low fat. I have the other version, which is, I call it moderate fat, moderate carb. That basically means things like not keeping track of your fat to the point where it has to be absurdly low. It does not mean eating butter by the stick or anything like that. But if you're going to eat things like you are going to have butter on your pancakes and syrup, and you're going to make a, you know, burger at your house, and it has a, you know, it has a little bit more fat in it, those things don't matter. You're going to have a couple pieces of bacon with your breakfast with pancakes. Those things don't matter. And I have clients who will start relatively lean, who will start a prep fat as hell, and can still do moderate fat, moderate carb with no issue and use insulin and continue to get retardedly lean. And I can do the same thing myself. I actually came across it based on my response. And then I started looking closer at clients and clients who wanted to kind of experiment and play with it. And I was getting the same response. So I think the best way to explain it is the way insulin works, if you keep your carbohydrates high and your fat low, then you're kind of being cautious in the sense that you'll have enough carb and you'll get the benefit and everything else. Because there's a point where if you don't take in enough carbs, you're not going to get the benefit of the fullness. You're not going to fill out. It's not going to pack away glycogen to make you fuller and really take advantage of the insulin. So you got to have a high amount of carbs no matter where your fat level is. But, I mean, your body will store triglycerides in the muscle anyway. So it's not like you take in dietary fat and you just store it because your insulin level is high. That's just not, you know, if you're depleted, I mean, basically the question comes out, if you use insulin and you're not at all depleted, that's a tough one. Because then, you know, let's put it this way. If you're an endo and you aren't depleted and you use insulin, there's a pretty good chance that you're just going to get fat. Mm. Now there's timing issues and there are things that you can do but we don't have the time for that. The point is if you're depleted and you're using insulin along with moderate fat, moderate carbohydrate intake, you're almost certainly not going to get fat. So I think what happens is when people get fat using insulin, and especially if they were to take in dietary fat as well, it's more a caloric game than it is the actual macro. So you still have to emphasize the carbohydrate intake because you're using insulin. It's a no-brainer. But I really think that people stress and overthink and worry about their dietary fat being ridiculously low or they're going to gain body fat. And I don't think that that's a direct consequence of taking in dietary fat while using insulin. So cut to Scott, see what he says.
Actually, I kind of agree with what you said, but not completely.
Fair enough.
But so I agree in overall theory of what you're saying, but I think it's a topic that it would take us forever to talk about it all.
Exactly.
And so you can't generalize everyone into the same package as far as what macronutrients they can take using insulin when it's a very complex subject, and it's something that's why when a lot of people that don't know how to use insulin start using it, they have problems because it's probably the most finite thing in physique build, whatever you want to call it, bodybuilding, whatever. If you take everything that everybody does that competes and stuff, insulin probably is one of the things that's the most tricky, and or you have to, you know, you'll hear people use the term, you need to know what you're doing. Well, sometimes you learn that the hard way too, but there is some truth to that because not everyone is the same with insulin. You can't throw a generic flat. I can't take an insulin plan and line up 10 guys and have them all use the same one. Some of them aren't going to, it's not going to work for some of them.
Right.
You know, so it's a very difficult subject to generalize. I know people that have used a lot of fat and use insulin. But if you look at their dietary habits over a long period of time, they consist of a high intake of fat. So, you know, there's different ways to approach it. I mean, it just depends on who the person is, what their dietary habits were before they did this, down to what their blood sugar levels are, background. I mean, did they come? Okay, here's one. If someone was a heavy drinker and was overweight and gets in shape and everything, a lot of times insulin can be very problematic with that type of person, even though they don't drink anymore because of the past use of alcohol and its effects on insulin and
in bodies. No kidding.
Huh? Yeah. So, I mean, trust me, I know.
Now, with that being said, though, because I agree with you, but going back to the actual, you know, just the core of the question itself, was I kind of approached it with my response or my answer by basically making the point that so many people think that it's like this written rule and it's an absolute. It must be high carbohydrate, ridiculously low fat, and that's why I went with the response I did, because I completely agree that it's all over the place and everybody's all over the place.
Let me re-say this. Maybe I said it wrong. I agree with what you said, but in the context of it, I don't want the listener to think that's the cut and. And you weren't being cut and dry. I don't want to take that general dialogue and make it think that that's how it fits to everyone. And I know you weren't doing that. I still want to, that's where I kind of just had my opinion there. Look, maybe wording it a little differently. That'd be the best way to put it.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree with that.
I agree with you, Skip, on that, that it's something I figured out for myself that, you know what I was doing was I followed the advice of like keeping those fats really low. And then I found that I had to keep pushing the carbs higher and higher because I was having a hard time maintaining size, even though I was using insulin, now that I had pulled out a bunch of dietary fats. And so I said, screw it. And I started adding them back in and I didn't see any other change other than the fact that it was easier to maintain fullness that way.
Right. Right. Exactly.
All right. He has a second question. I've been thinking about starting the use of growth. However, my grandmother died of pancreatic cancer, and my mother is a breast cancer survivor. As a male, should I be worried about possible cancer growth from using GH since it is on the female side of the family? Scott, what do you think about that?
Well, I actually studied up on this one time for reasons I did not have to do with bodybuilding, but, a lot of the studies will say that cancer is passed from the female side down to the female, through that direct lineage of sex. So male or female.
Wait, elaborate on that.
If the mother, the aunt, the grandmother, the female side of the family has issues with cancer, there's a higher risk for a daughter down the family tree on the feet if they're females. If the female parent or grandparent had cancer. And then if the male, the father, the grandfather, prostate cancer is the main one, then there's a bit higher chance that a male offspring down the family tree will have those problems.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
But, it goes both ways. And because there are environmental type factors, like remember we had asbestos back when Skip and I were like not that old, but I think there's outlying layers to why. And I had an immediate family member who had cancer twice and been through the chemo and all that and got a really great doctor, one of the top ones, and from MD Anderson. And I had an interesting conversation with her because they can actually tell about 95% of the people that have cancer, they can positively identify where it came from. So was it genetic? Was it an outside exogenous factor that caused it and all that? And so, but there is a percentage where they don't know. This particular person had the they don't know factor. And so that was kind of there is that, but it was interesting because the doctor said, hey, we can tell exactly was this genetic, was it from asbestos? I'll use that example or whatever. You know what I mean? And so considering this was in my direct family line, and it was the I don't know factor, it was kind of like, oh, that's real comforting. I have an idea. We threw some ideas around with it, but. What it was, but you don't know. It's unknown.
Well, I think for us too, let's be fair. We, Cheetos were made with asbestos. Lead paint. I would just eat paint off the wall of my bedroom. I'm sure you did the same thing. We drove around without seatbelts. So I think it's probably difficult to figure out if either one of us were to get cancer, where it would actually come from. Of course, the industry would say it came from steroids. But nonetheless, going back to the guy's question, it's a tough question to answer because the answer really is that obviously anybody who's concerned about their health, especially when they're older, I think tends to worry about things like that. I mean, you know, I started using growth hormone again that I hadn't used in years. And I'm absolutely in love with it. Oh, my God, it's keeping me so lean. I'm growing. Everything's great. But nice. In the back of my mind, I'm like, God damn, I wonder if this 6 pounds is really a tumor on my fucking colon. You know, I don't the older you get, it stays. Those things linger in the back of your fucking brain, I think. And so there's always a risk with that. I mean, the best answer I think that I could give is there's always a risk. And to deny that there could be or would be one, not only would be not fair or professional or very ethically sound on our part, but it would just be illogical because there's really no way to know. There's always a risk. Anytime you put any compound in your body, there's going to be those risks. So you kind of have to take these things and or when you're going to use a compound and you have to decide, you know, is it worth the potential risk? And knowing that there is that potential risk there, to what degree? Man, it's, you know, it's too hard to say. If I stay in my apartment all the time, I'm probably not going to get hit by a car.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, it's tough. It's you just have to weigh those things out. And it's just a personal decision in the end.
Okay. We have a question from C. Mills. Huge fan, guys. While my girlfriend does not currently compete, she is a gym rat like me, and she wants to diet while I'm on prep. For my upcoming prep, she is curious about Clen. The hang-up is that she has Hashimoto's disease, and her thyroid is extremely hard to manage, even with T4, T3 prescription. She probably cleverly wants to avoid PEDs that would further mess up her hormones. Is a conservative clenbuterol cycle on her strict 16-week diet a viable option? What do you guys think? Scott, what are your thoughts here? She has Hashimoto's.
I have experience with that.
Really?
Not personally, but closely.
Okay.
I don't think it's an issue. You know, I could generalize too and say you shouldn't diet together because that's usually that nightmare. But that's not always the case. I would tell her to go see your doctor and talk about using Armour and T4 and get away from the T3. Because in Hashimoto's, in my experience, with multiple people with Hashimoto's, with a certain doctor that really knew his shit, T3 was not needed. And that was one of the problems with a lot of the generic prescriptions. Now, I'm not telling you go do that. I'm just saying maybe go discuss it with your doctor and talk about using Armour and T4 and make sure they're doing ultrasounds on the thyroid and all this other stuff. I know that's really off kind of kilter from the question, but, you know, I thought I'd throw that in there. I don't think Clen's, from what I've seen, it's not an issue, but, you know, everyone's different. But I don't think it is, just my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm going with Scott on it. I would say the same thing. I don't see that there would be any contraindications or any issues with that particular fat burner or, you know, even if she were to use ephedrine or potentially yohimbine, I don't see that having any impact on her T3, T4, you know, Hashimoto's issues with her thyroid.
Plus, she's supplemented anyway.
Right.
You know, she doesn't have an active thyroid, most likely. It's probably completely dead. It's scarred all the way. So, you know, she's exogenously modified in a sense. So.
All right. I'm seeing a couple questions here that looks like guys have asked all the shows. I want to ask this one, though. Let's see. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. He says, though, this was just on clinical muscle. The guys talked about that. I will be interested to hear your input, though. I know both of you guys have had extensive experience with people using gear over the years. So he basically, to sum up this question, instead of running, say, 600 milligrams of DECA alone, his thought is to combine 300 milligrams of Tren and 300 milligrams of NPP to get that 600 milligrams and just calling that his nandrolones that he's using. So if he wanted to use like 600 milligrams of nandrolones and he went that route, do you guys see issues with that? There's, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the boards that say that they don't work well together. And then you hear random guys that say they love the combo. Have you guys seen, either of you, seen issues trying to combine these things?
I haven't seen issues from a negative standpoint, like it wouldn't work or one cancels out the other or anything like that. But I mean, milligram to milligram, you know, 300 milligrams of Tren versus 300 milligrams of Deca. Not every, you know, the milligrams aren't the same. What I do NPP, I'm not a big fan of Deca. Instead of 600 milligram of Deca personally, I would probably run 400 NPP instead. But, you know, based strictly on what he said, 300, 300, do I see any issues or do I think there would be? No, I wouldn't see any issues. That 300 and 300 would be stronger than 600 milligrams of Deca.
Yeah.
You know, more power to him.
Have you ever combined 19 Nors like that, Skip, in your past?
Yeah, I have.
No issues. No, not any issues.
You know, I say issues. I mean, I think people ask about when they say issues, and correct me if I'm wrong or if you take it a different way, but I kind of take that question as, you know, is it not a good idea from like being efficient or being as productive? I don't think they mean issues like will it cause issue? I don't see the issue. I don't see a problem with it. Scott, do you think it's kind of, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I'm, but do you see that? Do you think it's redundant? Do you think, I mean, what's he really, you know, what's he getting at? I don't.
Maybe that's what he's got. I mean, I think a lot of times people overthink what they're doing in a sense. And then, so there's like two people in life. There's the people that worry about everything and try to justify it and figure out what to do. And there's people that just don't give a fuck. And if you just don't give a fuck and you do it, you probably won't, it'll probably work. And you probably just be like, oh, I'm fine. But if you're going to worry about it and worry about every little different way you feel and stuff, or, you know, did you get as big or small? And, you know, I mean, I've done those combos. I mean, they were okay. I mean, for me personally, 3 or 4 weeks, I mean, I was about to rape myself. And then after that, it just kind of like, it's like going off a cliff. It just bang, you know, it just didn't work for me anymore. But I don't really give a fuck sometimes. So maybe it worked for that long because it did.
In fairness to the caller, though, because I think, you know, obviously, and you would agree, you know, people, it's not necessarily like they don't want to keep things simple, but I think they also want to make sure that they're not doing something that is, you know, a waste of time or a waste of gear. I mean, the only reason I say that is to state the obvious and kind of remind myself too that I guess if we just gave the advice, because it would be very simple to do, that just keep it simple, don't overthink it, we might not have but 3 questions a year.
Yeah. Mm. One thing you have to think about is people get into cycles like that and they don't like pinning. That's going to be a problem because you're going to have to pin a lot and you're probably going to get some knots and it's probably not going to be the smoothest transaction. You're probably going to have to move it around and stuff. So, you know, one thing with people that want to do cycles like that, yeah, you can definitely get something out of it, but are you the kind of person who just really doesn't like to pin or only has one spot? And so then they got to put that in the equation. But as far as working, I mean, it can work. I would say in my experience, that's with most people, it's kind of like what happened to me. You get 3 or 4 good weeks out of it, and then it's kind of like, okay, you know, it depends what else he's taking with it too. I mean, sure. So yeah, you kind of, I always hit it like a spot where it's like, you know, it was on, it was great, and then all of a sudden it was just not working. Mm. You know, the hormones get out of balance and things start to, you know, not be as productive, let's say.
Yeah, I wouldn't take NPP and Tren with no test.
Yeah,
let's state the obvious here, just in case he left that part out. But
What do you guys think about using 219 Nors versus? I mean, what about that versus using something else? Like, I mean, if his goal, I'm gonna guess his goal is cutting. If he's doing NPP and Tren, what about like that compared to, say, using Trent and Masteron, for instance?
Well, I mean, he, you know, he could be cutting. At the same time, maybe he's just like me and he doesn't like the water from Deca.
Mm.
And, you know, that could also be, you know, I don't really know. We also don't know, you know, there's bunch of questions, always is, you know, is this Trent acetate or is it a, you know, a hex that's going to take longer to kick in? How long is he going to do the cycle? How long has he been on? Has he been on? Has he been off for a while? You know, it's just hard to tell. But back to your question just about 219 Norris, I am not of the belief or the camp that has that black and white rule that says, oh, it's just a bad idea to combine 219 Norris. I just have never looked at it that way. Now, if I'm being honest at the same time, I can't think of a lot of cycles where I may have done that. But I don't think that it's ineffective. I don't think that it's a situation where, it would be better if you did the, like you're saying, you know, you put in something. I wouldn't put in Masteron personally.
You don't like Masteron,
but let's just
huh?
say EQ. Let's just say okay. EQ yeah. instead of, you know, or even DHB. You know, yeah. DHB and Tren instead of, you know, NPP.
So you're kind of, you know, you're coming at it from a new angle. That I like that because it just feels less redundant.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that it would, but at the same time, too, you know, the other problem that I have with some of these archaic rules that we come up with, and then oddly enough, everybody wants to challenge everything and everybody wants to reinvent the wheel, but for some fucking reason, people leave the old archaic shit there and in place and never fucking challenge it. I would say just like insulin and fat. If we just keep listening to the one person and regurgitating what that one person said 20 years ago, we get this same fucking perspective on everything. Take your fucking Norris. I would tell the guy, matter of factly, do that. Do exactly what you want and assess and see how it goes. Maybe it'll fucking work great for you. Maybe it'll just be like, meh. Maybe after 8 weeks you switch one out with DHB and all of a sudden everything's great. And you feel better on it, you up your testosterone. That's the other thing to it. If you don't have enough testosterone, and then all of a sudden later you don't change anything else, and you up your testosterone, then all of a sudden it feels, you know, the cycle feels so much more productive. There's just so many factors that it's so difficult to cover all the potential variables. But play. You got to play. You got to experiment. This game is trial and error. Even though you're getting advice from people, or you're asking people questions, and you might, you know, appreciate the response that we're giving you and be like, okay, yeah, you still have to assess and play with shit over time and be able to find out how well it works for you or if it just does not.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. You don't like Masteron, huh?
No, I don't think that I don't. It's not that I don't like Masteron. I actually do like Masteron. But what I'm saying is I don't know that I would change out. I don't think that's a comparable. Like I wouldn't take Trent out of his Trent NPP and put in Masteron. That's not a compound I would put in there. That's just me. But like I said, that's without knowing, you know, what else he's taking and you know, what his test dose is and stuff like that.
All right. Yeah, no, I mean,
you only have so many receptors. So, you know, if you have a compound going in that binds to the androgen receptor, anabolic to androgenic ratios are much stronger than, you know, I'm not saying you're wasting everything else, but, you know, there's only the body can only use so much. So, you know, it's kind of like using race fuel and regular fuel. You're putting half and half in, well, the race fuel is going to work a lot better. So you got to look at it that way too.
Sure. But if you go back to, just to counter that, you go back to his dosing at 300, 300, it's like if you're looking at 1,000, 1,000, you know, then it would be easier for us to say, okay, yeah, you probably could leave one of those out because that's certainly overkill. But at 300, 300, shit, I don't know. And do I think it would be any more effective going 300, 300 than just taking one of those compounds and going 600? I can't say. I mean, you know, you could certainly keep it more, you know, you could simplify it and use one compound and then switch it out. Might be easier to assess that way, you know, whether you respond. But maybe he has a history and he knows how he responds and that he responds well to Trent and he responds well to NPP and he wants to use them both to see how. That's where you get into the questions and the information that we just don't have.
Yeah. Hey, you mentioned the DHB. How has that gone for you?
I love the stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's hard to keep in solution.
Okay.
I do find myself, it'll start to crystallize, so I pop it in the oven and, at 170 and leave it there for 15 minutes, and then it's fine. And it'll be good for a couple weeks. But you have to understand, too, that because I'm in South Florida, my apartment is ice cold, so that doesn't help either. But people told me, they're like, oh, it's going to be a crippling, injection. It isn't. I'll be kind of sore, like I may have trained that muscle, but it's not anything debilitating. Now, the TNE and Anadrol is getting old.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I like it. I like the feel. I love being on it, but it's a very shitty taste, and I just had one that went very quickly, that I was breathing fumes.
Ooh.
And it just sucked, and it's just such a shitty taste, and, people say it's similar to that metallic taste of Trend, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's certainly different. I even asked my wife, I'm like, do you smell it? Because my wife has always told me she knows when I'm on Trend because she can smell it on my breath. She goes, it's not a bad smell. It's not like bad breath, but it's just different. And she says, I just know within a couple of weeks that you're on it, I can smell. She says she can smell it in my sweat too.
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. That it's, she goes, it's not ammonia. It's not like you're low carb, but it's just different. So I don't know. Those are the things that make you go, yeah, this stuff might not be, if you can smell it on my breath and I can taste it, that's probably not great. But I've got one more week of it. I only ran it for four, or plan to run it for 4 weeks, but I do love it. I love the impact that it's had visually. The fullness, the vascularity is insane.
Strength.
It's funny you say the strength. I'm almost, and I don't want to get into this because I could go on and on about it, but I cover a lot of this in my coach logs. I think I'm staying arguably too lean. I'm getting strength gains, and I'm growing, and I'm progressing, and I have no complaints. But I'm now starting to think, I might be holding myself back a little bit. I might have to take my body fat level up just a little to get more strength gains that are probably sitting there waiting to happen than is actually happening. So, yes, I feel the strength gains, the contractile force, the pumps. The pumps are just painful. They make, I trained arms the other day, and I had my arm bent on a preacher curl just resting, and it had this weird fucking pinched line going through it, and I thought, what the fuck is that? Like, what? But I was so fucking pumped that it just didn't look right.
Hmm.
So, blood flow, everything's great. I have no complaints. I don't want to come off, but I will in about 5 weeks. Go back to TRT, let my body rest for 8-10 weeks, and then go back at it again.
All right. Next question is for S2H. He says, S2H, I've been using a Monday, Thursday pin schedule, 300 test, 250 EQ each of those days with Aromasin at 12.5 Tuesday and Friday. So the day after he's taking that, as I've heard you suggest. I know you say that taking your AI the day after pinning is best since aromatis is highest then. How would someone adjust this protocol if switching to 125 milligrams, 50-50 blend of SIP and propionate with 50 milligrams of Tren every other day? Do I half the Aromasin and run on alternating days? So he's doing the two shots a week right now with
6.25 the day after.
The day after every other day is what you're going to say. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And that's it. You like that after? You like that the day after? Can you explain that to us one more time?
Well, that's when testosterone peaks. So that's when your highest point of aromatase is. So you're just introducing it. And it's not a perfect science. I mean, but it's in that 24 to 36 hour window. So you're introducing that aromatase inhibitor. There are also some blood levels that stay up with it after you do it for a while. But and it's easy to remember too. That's a good thing. so you don't really get confused.
Okay.
So
we've got one more question here. And then, guys, after this, let's get some more questions for the guys. Once again, you can go over to advicesradio.com, click on the forum button, and in the bodybuilding section, you can go to the Blood, Sweat, and Gear thread and get some questions to us. We'll get stocked up for the next episode. He says, thanks again for the educational and entertaining shows. Any input on this? How long should one take off from training before doing blood work? Should one reduce their protein intake as well, both to get a more accurate reading and so doctors don't shit a brick? Skip, what do you think here?
I wouldn't change anything, because when you change what you're doing, I don't see that blood work as more accurate, because that's not what you're typically doing.
Okay.
I think you should just continue to do what you're doing. Now, you also need to understand that training the same day or training the day before is likely going to have your, you know, kidney numbers a little more elevated, that sort of thing. But that's where your kidney numbers are when you train. So I don't see any reason, you know, I'll ask my clients, you know, hey, did you train the day before, or have you been off for the weekend, you know, that sort of thing. So there's other things to factor into. If you're going to do fasted blood glucose, you know, you don't really want to do that a day after a big cheat or a big skip load or anything like that too. So there's other things to take into consideration that, you know, you have to be a little bit careful of. But I wouldn't change too much, because I think that when you do that, you know, then the blood work comes back great and you're like, hey, but maybe your regular blood work when you train and you're taking in normal protein, maybe those numbers need to be alarming if they are, and be seen. If they are out of range, or if they're a concern, then you can cut back and see if you're, you know, see how much you drop or how much those numbers fall back. But again, I think it just becomes, you know, blood work. I think the most important thing to do with blood work is to not only do it consistently or routinely, but to have the variables constant and be able to, because otherwise you're just not going to be able to make accurate comparisons.
Yeah, I'd say the only thing is, most doctors are pretty educated on, you know, if your kidney numbers are elevated, that you're, if you say you lift and you worked out and all that stuff,
right.
There are some jobs, and I know of a couple that, you know, they'll flag you if you're just over anything.
Really?
And it's a concern. Yeah. Like if you contract overseas out of the country, if you have high even kidney numbers, they'll flag you.
Right.
And, so in that case, I would take, you know, 3 or 4 days off and then go take them. Cause I actually have a friend of mine who contracts and does some contracting work overseas, and he gets flagged on his kidney numbers a lot. And so now he makes sure he doesn't do anything 3 or 4 days before he takes them, cause they will flag him and make him come back like 3 days later and take it again.
Hmm. I think it's important too, if you're going to ever do blood work for life insurance policy.
Yeah, that too.
I'm telling you, because what I did was I listened to my insurance broker guy. He's like, no, you're fine. You don't have to stop the vitamins you're taking. You don't have to stop your supplements. All you have to do is list everything you take and everything you're using, and they'll take that into consideration. And they flat out denied me.
Wow.
Yeah, they wouldn't even like... I'm like, the list, like he told me, no, we don't, nope, you're,
holy
and I
shit.
Begged them to test me 10 days later.
Yeah.
And they, at first they said no, because they're like, what could possibly change? I'm like, I'm going to eat like a normal person. I'm not going to work out, and I'm going to show you matter of fact. And it was funny, because I think they were probably thinking, well, whatever you're doing, you know, you're not going to be able to change it, because you're probably doing some fucked up shit.
And you're going to die.
Yeah. And so... I wish it's been years since I did it. And I kept those, the two blood work panels for comparison, because there was such a massive disparity.
Wow.
That it was insane.
Huh.
So they came back, and I was actually the only, I would have had the top tier, but I got dropped two because of BMI.
Hmm.
Even though I was ridiculously lean, which I expected, the BMI I expected.
Yeah.
But everything else was great. I have an incredible policy, and it's because I jumped through all these hoops and did. So if you ever have to get a life insurance policy, you better make damn sure that you take every precaution to make sure they're as low as possible, because listing everything you take does not fucking matter usually.
Well, same with health insurance. If you're in a small group or yourself, they'll take you, but you'll get charged way more. So you're better off being normal, or within range.
I didn't know they could take that into consideration for just like a regular insurance policy, Scott.
Well, their insurance in your health, in your life. They dig pretty deep into that stuff. I knew somebody not too long ago that wanted to get health insurance on their own.
Yeah.
A pretty normal person or everything. And I mean, shit, he showed me the charts, like what he got charged. And if he was over on a couple of things or even high normal.
Ah.
Or low normal, and it just, age helped racked it up too. But yeah, I mean, some of those, especially in those life insurance policies, if you're going for a bigger policy, let's say seven figures.
Yeah.
Man, they're probing you and they're looking at everything, family history, lifestyle, are you overly tan and leathery with bald, and you're bald and you're in Florida, stuff like that. Yeah, no, they get pretty strict on that stuff.
My wife was denied, check this out. She had melanoma 6-7 years ago, had 3 separate surgeries for it, was not denied for the melanoma. Because she had been cancer free for 5 years. She was denied for those, and I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but the massive, and it was only, she only made one trip to the ER for it, but for her nosebleeds, because they could not figure out the reasons, and there was no definitive reason as to why she had these nosebleeds and had to be packed that one time and then went in to have the blood vessels cauterized, and since then has not had one nosebleed at all, denied her life. Not only her, four different life insurance companies.
Huh.
Isn't it? I couldn't believe it. Right now, my wife is uninsured.
Hmm. For life insurance.
For life insurance, yeah.
Because you punch her in the nose.
No, my wife. She'll fuck some people up, and I would probably be one of them. But till I'm sleeping, but she'll fuck me up.
I'll say this on another thing, just kind of on this side. If you're getting to that point where you think you're going to get life insurance, whatever, and you've been going and go to your doctor's office and request your records, because sometimes you never know what the hell they write in there.
That's right.
And that's another thing these insurance companies look at, is they'll pull your medical records for like the last 10 years or even longer.
Wow.
And you don't know what assumption not the best, but there could be all kinds of notes and stuff in there, the stuff that, that you didn't have, or, they maybe thought you had or tested you for, whatever, you need to go in there and look at those and make sure there's not, stuff in there that you don't want them to read. Cause of course you got to sign a HIPAA release to let them look at it. And they're going to dig, man, especially if you go for a big policy. You start getting up to seven figures, they're going to dig hard.
And it's nothing for a doctor to write suspected steroid use.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, those things you want to have questioned before, just like Scott is saying, before a company is going to take a look at, especially for a larger policy. I don't even think you have to get to seven figures. I think, honestly, anything $500,000 or over, and they're going to start to scrutinize you big time.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So you can request your records. I've never done that before.
They're actually your records. Most of them will try to charge you like $25 to get them.
Yeah.
But they're actually yours, and they have to give them to you. You just have to be a little bit knowledgeable. Just say, hey, look, these are my records. I want them, and they have to give them to you. They'll fucking him and haw around, and say, oh, you got to pay us for them. No, they're yours. And, another thing is and especially since the last 10 or 12, 15 years, is a lot of doctors, even if you weren't in the service or overseas, they want to say you have PTSD from something.
Yeah.
Man, that's like a kiss of death.
Really?
In your records. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So you can go in there and say, because, most of the time, you go in there, they type on their little computer and they're spend 5 minutes with you and give you a prescription for something or don't or whatever, and then they just type shit in there and they leave. Mm. There's no real... they're not really addressing, going any deeper than they're just whatever their Pfizer's fucking computer system tells them in their computer.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would recommend everyone pull their records every couple of years and just see if you go to the doctor regularly and just see what's in there.
I like that idea. Yeah, I never thought about doing that. You know, while we're talking about getting lab work done, I mentioned earlier, it seems like, you know, I'll have these guys that are newer and they're getting labs pulled constantly, like just nonstop. And it seems a little bit excessive to me. What's a good amount of time to wait between labs for your average guy?
Well, there's exceptions based on what you're doing and where you are in cycle and things like that, and if there's any pre-existing or any issues that you're dealing with. But, I mean, if you get blood work done, the average person, if you get blood work done twice a year, every 6 months, I think you're going to have a pretty good idea or a pretty good grasp of what your markers look like.
That's what John Meadows said, too, when I asked him. But, yeah, I see guys that just, they want to know, you know, they want to know, and so... where's my estrogen now? You know, they pull labs like sometimes like every 6 weeks, it seems.
Yeah, you know, it can be excessive, but if at the same time, if you're going to pull them and you really want a good idea, fuck, do it every 6 weeks for, say, you know, six or seven panels. And then you can probably then be to the point where you have a pretty good understanding of how you're dealing. Because I've always said you do want your... You want your blood work while you're on and heavy in the mix of everything, and you also want it while you're off. Because, you know, a lot of people, the large majority of people only do it when they're off.
Yeah.
And they want to make sure everything, of course, everything's going to return to normal. I mean, that's how the fucking body works. And I say, of course, the large majority of the time. Then it becomes not whether you're going to return to normal, but how long it takes to get to normal. And I think that's what too many people focus on. They're like, oh, take... And you don't even have any idea that your body is being either beat to shit, or, on the other hand, a lot of people can handle their cycles quite well, and they don't even have a clue whether they're handling those cycles well or whether it's just beating the shit out of their system.
Yeah.
And you need to know that. You need to know when your blood, when you're peaked and when you're running, and your body is under a lot of stress, and your blood pressure might be up a little bit, you're carrying more water weight. What is going on? What do the kidney numbers look like? What are the everything? What does everything look like?
I need to get a new doctor. Mine retired.
I need to get a doctor because I've been down here for a little over a year and do not have a chiropractor, do not have a doctor. I need to get to the fucking dentist. I mean, I've been lazy for this last year.
But you're getting jacked, so there's that.
Yeah, well, I tell you, the only thing that's saving me from not having a chiropractor, to be honest with you, is my religious stretching. I honestly don't think I need a chiropractor right now as long as I continue to stretch.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced of that, pretty confident of that. Yeah.
How do you work
that? What is religious stretching?
Religiously, consistently, routinely, obsessively, that sort of thing.
Not praying.
Oh, I thought maybe you were on like a prayer mat or something, stretching
no,
out.
No, I haven't prayed in a while.
We know. That one caller told us.
How do you work it into your day?
What, the stretching?
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, stretching is something I think about doing, and then I remember, like, twice a week.
Yeah, I hate it because there's no obvious outcome. I hate it more than cardio and even shaving. But anyway, right now, as long as I do it consistently, I only really have to... For my situation, I have to stretch twice a week. I train legs on Thursdays now, so I always stretch. And people think it's weird. Oh, you're not supposed to do it before. I stretch to open everything up and loosen everything up prior to training legs. I'm not stretching to really increase range of motion, like to force myself to be more flexible than I already am. I'm just opening everything up and getting everything loose so that when I train, I'm not tight.
I do the exact same thing.
Then I do the opposite on Mondays because I'm the tightest, because my weight is up, because I'm holding more water than I usually do from skip loading on Sundays. So I do stretch a little bit more intensely on Mondays. So that's my two times during the week. And if I do that, I'm fine. If I get to the point where I have to go back to a chiropractor, it'll be because I've injured myself and I have gotten to the point where I am not stretching routinely again. And I think that'll suck. So, I mean, I look at it logically in the sense that it's been over a year and I have stretched consistently. The numbers I'm putting up are as big, if not bigger, than I've put up for years, like prior to having back problems. So if I have back problems now, it'll be my own fault from not stretching.
So does that mean you're benching like 175?
Sometimes 2.25.
Squatting like 200.
Yeah, in that ballpark. No, and I have always said in my own defense, I've never been terribly strong. I mean, even at my biggest weight and everything else, I've never been no one was going to look at the weights that I was pushing and go, wow, he's really strong. But relative to the numbers that I have put up, especially with legs, I mean, my legs, I was just held back for so many years based not as much on what my legs could do or move, but what the pressure that my abdominals and my torso could handle from squatting or leg pressing and that sort of thing. So, I'm able to handle so much more. I'm just stronger. My back is in a better position. It's been stronger and getting stronger for, 3.5 years? It's been about 3.5 years since I've had any problems with my lower back or a major injury with my lower back. So,
are you on the glute kick with Scott?
I am not on the glute kick, but I am in a sense that I am doing lunges or some type of, like a one-legged squat or something. I mean, I'm purposely working my glutes essence, but I don't, I tried those goddamn hip thrusts. I don't fucking like them, and I'm just not going to do them. I just don't like them. But things like lunges and stuff like that, I'm making sure that I lunge or do a one-legged type squat at least every other leg workout. I'm even doing a little bit of adductor abductor work, which I think you have to be careful with when you have lower back issues, because if you're going to end up with tighter hips or you're going to really train them hard, those are stabilizer muscles, and you don't want those. You don't want muscles like that to become overtrained or anything. You want them strong all the time, and especially when you have had a vulnerability like a lower back issue that's been chronic for years. So I do some work, but it's not much, and it's not very frequent.
I think when you guys meet up at the Arnold, you should hug and grab each other's asses and then see who's the firmest.
And then go do a glute workout at Elite FTS.
Dude, with the bands, with the little pink stretchy things and the leg warmers.
Yeah.
You guys will fit right in.
It'll be perfect.
Take my t-shirt, tie it in a knot right in front by my belly button. Yeah, I could.
Well,
what's
the name will hit you in the head with a dump at 150?
Dave will. Dave will be like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, just get out of here and don't come back.
We fired that bodybuilder guy.
Yeah. Like, he was okay until he came out to visit.
Yeah.
And then it went downhill from there.
It happens. When are you flying up there, Skip?
When am I flying? Mm-hmm. That Thursday night, about 6:00. I told you I have room. My wife is begging to go, but she's not. I don't want her. She's just getting in the way of my game. And
your game?
Yeah, like no chance at all. I just need 2.5 days.
The nonstop flight?
No. You know what? I don't think there are. I looked long and hard because I hate flights that are connecting flights. But I have to connect. I got to go to D.C. and then to Columbus. And I'm not sure. No offense to anybody. I don't know which is worse. Is D.C. worse than Columbus? I don't think it is. I think they're both on par with each other.
D.C.'s the worst.
So I don't know. But, yeah, it's a connection, and I'll be there. But like I said, I mean, I got a room. I got a couple queen beds. I got room. If you were going to go, you have a place to stay.
Scott.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd probably rape you in the middle of the night. I don't know.
If I get to smash a dime, you got to leave me alone. You got to come back later. You got to honor the do not disturb sign, man.
You hang like a little towel on the door or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a direct flight there from you to Columbus.
See, there you, it's just do that.
No, from you.
Oh, from me?
Oh, there's definitely one from here.
See, I looked. I'm telling you, I did not. I even checked for Miami because I'm, relatively close to Miami. I mean, it's not as close as Fort Lauderdale. I'm 10 minutes from the Fort Lauderdale airport. But Miami airport, I can get to in, I don't know, even in heavy traffic, I can get there in an hour and 15 minutes. Shit, I lived an hour from DIA when I lived in the mountains, so an hour to me doesn't matter.
You could have flown into Houston and then called me when you were leaving, like McNally did. Hey, I was in Houston at the airport for like 5 hours. And
I was there for like 5 minutes.
It was 5 hours, trust me. No. I don't think I'll be going. But
Okay, well, I'm telling my wife you're going so that she won't go.
That,
so that she'll leave me alone. I'm telling my wife that that Scott's going, and that's, and then she'll be like, I'm not sleeping in the same room. I'm like, I know. I don't want to sleep in the same room either. I was being nice, and he took me up on the offer, and now I don't know what to do.
Tell her I snore. I'm gassy. You know, I sleep naked, and it's very, very repulsive, and she won't want to go.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be fun. I say it's a week and a half or a week and a couple days, and it's going to be, that'll be cool.
I want you and Scott have to stand next to each other for a picture so I can see who's bigger, but I'm already going with McNally.
I think Skip is. Skip, you're taller than me too, aren't you? Because you, what, how tall are you?
I don't know, maybe like 5'8" and a half or
so.
So
we're about the same height then, maybe just a little bit taller.
Well, what's your weight? What's your scale weight?
Like 210, 205. It fluctuates now. But
okay.
Yeah, but you know what though? I'm not as grainy as you, so that in itself, I'm not. Yeah, you got me, man. Where are you at right now?
By the end of the week, I'll be about 225, 226.
See, yeah,
but coming off a load, I'm 235,
234. You gotta work on your ILS, too, Skip. You got to work on your ILS. McNally's got the ILS down. So.
Well, thanks.
I don't. Yeah,
it's a compliment.
I'm not an ILS. No. Ain't happening.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'll make sure to call in while y'all doing the show.
All right.
And harass. I'll be some unknown caller.
All right. Well, let's get out of here, guys. It's been fun. It's been real. We'll see everybody at the Arnold Classic. Go to teamskip.com. Check out Intense Muscle for another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip Hill and S2H. I'm Scott McNally. We will see you at the end.
Overdose, because when you go for broke, you just end up broke. So we bookend our sets with the endo smoke. And whether friend or foe, yo, the end is close. I got the freshest.
Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally. The show is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You can go to the site, TrueNutrition.com, and use our code AdvicesRadio. Actually, no. Let me start that again. Sorry. I gotta think about the words I'm saying. Okay.
I'm on my growing pain special episode. Mike Seaver's ethnic bro bonus shit. I'm over it. Jock it, throw it on my bonuses.
Advices Radio.